listening to Prosperity Radio with Ryan Harris, bringing you the secrets of business prosperity straight from the experts. Do you want to serve people, have a massive impact, improve the world, and make great money in the process? Then you're in the right place. You can have it all, and this interview is going to help. So open your mind, take notes, and have fun, because you're about to hear an exclusive, exciting, and inspired business and marketing conversation for heart-centered entrepreneurs. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. My guest today is Jana Beeman of Create Your Dream Practice. She is a business trainer and coach specializing in helping entrepreneurs move past their blocks, brainstorm solutions, dissolve fears, and step into their power while creating systems and processes to assure long-term business success. She offers training and mentorship in how to sell without selling. Heart-centered marketing, a favorite topic of mine, of course, and connection, content marketing, and advanced networking techniques to build community connection and clients. So she's a business and coaching trainer for an international nutrition school, and she helps coaches increase their skills both with clients and on stage and defeat their fears. And today Jana is going to talk with us about power networking and how to apply it to your business. So Jana, welcome to Prosperity Radio.
I am so happy to be here today and happy to share whatever I can with you guys.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time. So networking is a word in and of itself that sometimes, you know, people's eyes glaze over when they hear that. Because, right? Because we all have those uncomfortable, awkward feelings when we go into like our first Chamber of Commerce networking event or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's usually what it calls to mind. But you've come up with a way to make power networking really effective, and you've put the word power in there, which I'm really curious about. So maybe we should start off, tell me what power networking is and how it's different from what other people, you know, typically do when they go to a networking event.
Well, power networking is where instead of being at the mercy of the room, of, you know, just going with the energy of what's there, you go with intention and you have a plan and you know how to connect with others in a really powerful way so that you are really maximizing the connections you make every time you go out and network. And I can get into that a little bit more situationally. It'll be easier to understand. But it really is taking the control and finding those ways to make the most of every connection you make.
And okay, so, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, so let me ask you, maybe the best way to explain it is tell us how you think people typically do networking and then sort of contrast that with the power networking style.
Okay. So, alright, so first I will give an example of really bad networking because let's always start with the worst example. And everyone who's been to a networking event has seen this person. They walk up to you, they shove a card in your face, they take your card, maybe, and they maybe say three or four words and they walk away. Okay, that is not effective networking. That is annoying.
Okay.
So the way most people network is they walk up to somebody and they introduce themselves using their elevator speech that they have rehearsed into a coma. And really, you know, it's all about where is my client in this room? And that kind of networking also is not very effective, although it's definitely better than the business card ramming approach.
Okay. So that I've experienced both of those, and I think I'm probably guilty of both of those too. So give us a sense of what power networking looks and feels like.
Okay, so power networking is different because we are not in the room to shove our cards at people. We are not in the room to say our elevator speech 15 times. Generally, when I talk to people about power networking, it's with the intention of going into a room and having maybe three or four powerful conversations and looking for several different things, which I think we'll go into in a little bit. But it's not just about looking for your perfect ideal client in the room, because chances are they aren't. But if you figure everyone in the room knows about 200 other people, if not more, then everyone there is a potential referral partner. And so when we walk into a room and we look at people as friends that we have not met yet, and that's one I got from Scott Dinsmore. I think he put that really, really well, is to look at the people in the room as just friends that you haven't connected with yet, and to really just be fearless and also kind of in your own integrity. You're not being, you know, in my case, being female, you're not in the room being Wonder Woman. You're just being who you are. You don't put on a persona. You are just in your authentic self. And for those of us who are shy and introverted, it's a challenge, right? It's scary. But if we look at people as being connections that we need to make, as friends that we could make in the moment, and we really just plan on maybe, you know, two or three or four good connections per meeting, it takes the pressure off because you're not there to meet everyone in the room. That's never going to happen.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. It's a good approach. Okay. So the intention is, so you mentioned going in with an intention and a plan. So overall, the intention is to make friends, be yourself, have some fun, yeah, mm-hmm. and meet just a few key people, sounds like.
Right. And also to lead in a place of service where it's really about finding out about the people that you connect with in a really authentic way, finding out how you can be a service of them instead of what they can do for you.
Okay, that's awesome. That's in alignment with how I like to approach it. So that is sounds like just a more relaxed, more fun. I mean, even if you didn't make any connections, it sounds like a more enjoyable event for you if you go in with that approach. But I imagine it's more effective too. So I'm curious how'd you stumble onto this, or how'd you come up with this process?
This has been pretty much the accumulation of about 7 years of really strong research. When I first turned the corner into doing health coaching and then later on business coaching, all of a sudden, although I'd been in business my entire life, I'd never had to network. It was all word of mouth advertising, and I never had to do networking before. So when I went to my first networking group, it was a mixer. Now, I'll mention that I am shy, introverted, socially anxious, and agoraphobic, and I'm living in a new state, so I don't know my way around anywhere. So I walked into that first meeting pretty much already terrified, and it was a mixer, which is really overwhelming for especially introverts. We don't do well in mixers as we are starting networking, because it's just overwhelming and you feel like, how am I even going to do this? And, you know, I had a bunch of people come and do the card shove at me. I had a bunch of people come and just practice their elevator speech, and they never asked me a thing about what I did, which I found really interesting. And so I kind of just laid back in that first event and really became an observer. And I saw how people would click together, and people would get in a circle, and they're like shoulder to shoulder, all pointing in. And so the people who are not in a group can't come in and join that group. The body language is very exclusionary, and it's kind of like, don't bother us. And, you know, I would just watch different things. So I came up with this whole, it's kind of funny, I have this mental picture of networking in mixer groups as a solar system. And so there are the star clusters. Those are the stars who have grouped together and are not allowing more stars to join them. And in most, you know, mixer groups, there are these star clusters of groups of people all around the room, and there are very few people who are not in those groups. And so then I started seeing a couple of people who were like wandering around the periphery looking for a group to join. I decided those were the orbiting satellites.
Okay, I like that.
And every now and then there's this area where you think you can land and to join a group, but what you're really approaching is a black hole and they're not going to let you in. So it's very funny when you think of it that way, but it was really what I saw. And so I started really diving into researching networking and what has worked for other people. And I've read countless books and I've watched countless videos and I've talked to so many really high-level professionals about how they network. And as I started getting into the conference circuit and started speaking more, it became a part of every conversation. It's like, you know, I am fascinated with networking. Tell me what has been working for you. And so I've kind of developed this process where when you walk into a room, whether it's a sit-down meeting, which I always recommend for shy or introverted people, start with a sit-down meeting because it's way more comfortable, or whether it's a mixer, if you walk in the room with just the intention of connecting with, you know, two or three or four people and not the room, then it takes some of the overwhelm out of it. And if you are looking to create one of three levels of connection. So my first level of connection is I'm looking for my peers in the room. Who are the people who do what I do that I could talk to about maybe doing a joint venture together? Maybe we can become affiliates for each other. Because as you and I know, we can be doing very similar things, but we each have an area of specialty that's going to be different, that's going to be complementary, that actually, if we blended it together, makes us stronger than the sum of our parts, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So looking for those peers who could be, you know, maybe we can send out to each other's lists. Maybe we could share on social media for each other. Maybe we do an event together if we're in the same local area. So there's all kinds of possibilities to work with peers. So,
okay.
And especially peers, if they serve the same group and you have a slightly different area of specialty than they do, then they are serving the people that you serve and cross-referrals become fabulous.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And
okay,
so
go ahead. I was going to say, so is there not, so you said there's three levels?
Yes.
What's the second one?
The second level is the power partner. Now, the power partner is the person in the room who knows everybody. That's the person you want to make sure you connect with, make sure you get introduced to, find out what they need, who they serve, how they serve them, what is a great referral for them, and start referring to that person. Set a coffee date. You know, that's the person you want to sit down with. Everybody else, when I follow up, I tend to do phone conversations. But power partners in the room, I want to sit down with coffee. I want to be face-to-face so that they can see my energy and we can figure out how we can really support each other. Because power partners, they know way more than that 200 people. And they are way more willing to actively refer and connect.
Yes.
So when you need
yeah.
to know someone specific, they're the ones you want to go to.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Okay. So peers and then power partners, and what's the third type?
Then those are your potential clients. So then it becomes, you know, just a conversation around, you know, when you've introduced yourself to each other and you kind of have a feel for what each other does, then you can deepen the conversation and you know, just look for the places where interest might spark. So if I'm a health coach walking into a networking group and in my self-intro, I say, yeah, I work with people with migraines and I really help them, you know, solve those problems naturally without drugs. I'm going to watch and see how they react to that. You know, is there a spark of interest? Do they ask me some questions? But in the meantime, I'm also focusing on them to find out more about them. So I can see how maybe we could refer to each other one way or another. So there's always possibility in every connection. And sometimes someone could be a potential client, a power connector, and a peer. So you never know what you're going to find when you dig under the surface.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Okay. So you've identified these three sort of types and these are approaches. So now I presume when you go to networking events and you employ this approach and look for these three types, I assume you're finding it's much more effective, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's easier to go in with a plan. So, you know, whenever I meet someone new, it's like, so tell me about your business. What do? Who do you serve? How do you serve them? What's a great referral for you? So I'm always leading with the idea that if nothing else, I can refer to you. And if someone wants to do some mutual referral, then I'll look at the possibility of bringing them into a strategic alliance where we actually have a written agreement to refer to each other or to support each other in some way, because people are much more likely to do that when they talk to you maybe once or twice a month and you have an ongoing relationship that is committed to doing that. And very few people ever really follow up from networking events, and that becomes the place where someone going in doing power networking can really clean up, you know, in a good way, because it's all win-win-win.
Okay, so yeah, that makes sense. So how is there a right way and a wrong way to follow up? Is there a rule of thumb there?
I would say that the wrong way would be, hey, do you have any clients for me?
Yeah.
The right way is, again, leading with service, because this is a relationship. It's not speed dating. This is a relationship. And so finding out, you know, having a conversation, what do you need? How can I help you? What one thing would make the biggest difference in your business right now? Who are you looking to meet? Are there resources you're looking for? And, you know, then the typical referral questions, you know, who do you serve? How do you serve them? And say I'm talking to someone who is a life coach, I'm going to maybe suggest that, would you be open to exchanging sessions? We can even do shortened ones if you'd like to not, you know, waste a ton of time. But would you be open to exchanging sessions so that we each know how the other one works? Because it's way more powerful to refer to somebody when you know how that person helps other people. It doesn't always work, you know, depending on, you know, say if you're talking to a plumber and you don't have any plumbing problems, then that may not work. And in that case, I'd say, hey, you know, so who are two or three people in the group that maybe have worked with you that I can get, you know, some feedback and testimonials from so that I can feel confident to refer to you. But if it's someone who does some kind of a session, say they're a healer of some kind, a massage therapist, a coach, anything like that, exchanging sessions can be really, really powerful, because then you have firsthand experience and you can tell somebody, oh, you know, you're dealing with, you know, with wanting to quit smoking too. And although I do hypnosis, I don't deal with that at all, but I have the perfect person to send you to. So let me connect you with Kim. She's a rock star. She can knock this out in one or two sessions. You absolutely need to go to her. And that is the kind of referral that makes people feel good about having connected with you.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Is there like a major faux pas or something that people typically do that they should be avoiding at all costs?
Making everything about them. So if I were to go into a networking group and I'm all like, oh yeah, I do this and I do that, and oh yeah, I can help people who do that. Oh, I do that too. And I'm not asking questions about the other person, or if I'm controlling too much of the conversation, then that really feels uncomfortable. It feels unbalanced and people are going to kind of go, ew. You know, it's not warm and fuzzy, right? But if it's kind of like a ping pong match, I always think about, you know, you start with the name and then you get their name, and then you start with a self-intro, preferably not a rehearsed one, and you get their self-intro. And then you can share a little bit more about what you do, and then they share a little bit more about what they do. And it's back and forth like a ping pong match. And that feels really even, and people get really energized by that. But there are always people in every networking event who are all about them, and they will drone on for as long as they can keep an audience. And so my rule of thumb is if you're talking to someone for 5 minutes and they haven't asked you any questions, and if they haven't said anything about what you do and it's all been about them, just shift your eyes to the back of the room, say, oh, excuse me, I see someone I need to connect with over there, and just walk away.
Wow. Okay, that's gutsy. Some of us, I think, would have a hard time doing that, but I suppose that could be learned like anything else.
It is difficult. It's difficult. But when you're there for business, can you afford to waste your time?
That's true, and you have to recognize the value of your own time, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's creating a boundary, and when you say, oh, there's someone there I need to talk to, you're not saying you know them. You're not saying that they're waiting for you. You're not lying in any way, shape, or form. You're just, there's another person, and you need to talk to another person because this person has been wasting your time. So then you can just simply disengage and go and introduce yourself to someone new.
Okay, I like that because, yes, it's very important to stay in integrity with your word. So that's a good technique. I like it. Well, I'll share with you, I meet people on LinkedIn all the time. And you would think, and LinkedIn obviously is like an online version of networking in a sense.
Yes.
And you would think that given the entire premise of LinkedIn, and it's about connecting and meeting other professionals and growing your network, that good networking would be common in that people asking those questions like that you've presented would be common. And so I've sent out emails where I simply said, who is your ideal client? I might know some of them. Tell me who they are, and if I can send you business, I will. And the responses I get to that, people are like shocked, like it's the first time anyone's ever proposed that on LinkedIn. So do you find that too?
Yes, and most people, when they send out a friend request on LinkedIn and you accept it, they don't expect to hear from you. So I like to, as often as I can, and I don't do it with everybody because, you know, there simply isn't enough time in the day, but as often as I can, I will go through and connect with a few people that I've recently accepted an invitation from them and just say, hey, you know, thanks for connecting with me. I would love to find out more about what you do. You know, can we have a conversation? Can we talk on LinkedIn? Either way is fine with me. How can I support you? What do you need? And I get a lot of feedback like, wow, that's a first.
Yes, that's been my experience as well. Now you can, I noticed if you do that, you have to be, again, aware of the value of your time and kind of protect it because you could spend all day every day just finding out about people's needs and businesses and they're not a match at all. So I think you're right. You have to do it within reason. But if you go in looking for ways that you can help each other, generally you find ways of helping each other, right?
Mm-hmm. And I can tell you from one LinkedIn conversation that went back and forth maybe twice each way, and then one short phone call, I got a client. So sometimes just the fact that you're feeling a kind of that intuition to reach out to somebody and say, hey, you know, how can I support you? Would you like to connect? You know, are you looking to create some community? Because I'm always looking to build that. And, you know, wow, that is so cool. Yes, I'd love that. I feel like I'm so alone in my business. Great. Let's talk. And I've actually had people sign up just from that. You know, in business coaching, we always tell people you have to get people to know, like, and trust you. But with LinkedIn, because they kind of have already vetted you a little bit by looking at your profile, and if you are really good at doing your LinkedIn profile, they have a lot of information to pick from. And they look at how many friends you have, and they look at those connections. And then when you're willing to reach out instead of just accepting and moving on, then that opens a door and all kinds of things have happened. I've done joint ventures with people from LinkedIn. I mean, you and I met that way. And, you know, I mean, there really is no limit to what we can all do together if we just take that extra moment to reach out.
Yes, exactly. Well, your tips have been very helpful. I know a lot of people just avoid networking events because they feel they know they don't know what they're doing. They feel awkward and uncomfortable. They know they're not getting results, so they try it once or twice, and then they abandon it when really it's not the networking part. It's just how they approach it and how well you do it. And like anything, it's a skill you acquire, right?
Absolutely. And you can be networking for years and years and not do it well, and you can shortcut that learning curve really easily to make your networking really effective, to know what to do, to know when to, you know, up the level of the relationship, to know how to get people to take action for you, and to how to really create a community. And one of my business partners, she always tells everybody, yeah, you take Jana, you drop her in the middle of the desert without a laptop, a cell phone, or even an address book, and I swear to God, within 15 minutes, she'll stage a coup. So I have become really good at networking, and I network literally everywhere I go. And because of that, I have a massive community. And, you know, these are people that are willing to do things for me. So when I reach out to someone and ask for support with a campaign or a launch or something, it happens. And if you just network the way that most people network, you might get a few referrals here and there. But if you up your level of the game, if you follow up, if you create connections with people, it is super powerful.
Awesome. Well, I don't think, even if someone doesn't go to networking events often, it's always a great skill to know how to have, just in case. And since we're all at the grocery store every week and things like that, you do need to get good at it. So if people like what they've heard and this sounds good and they want to get more, what resources do you have available? Where should people go to get more of this?
Well, I think probably the easy way is that I have a quick tip series on networking if you sign up for my free gifts on my website. So if you go to createyourdreampractice.com and just sign up in the opt-in box in the right-hand corner, then you'll get some great gifts like a business success checklist. I think I have some audios in there and some other pieces. But there's a little quick tip series on networking that will go into a lot of these pieces. They're short and sweet, but they're going to go a little bit deeper than what we've had time for today.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so that is at www.createyourdreampractice.com, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so everyone listening, go to take advantage of this because it's an awesome resource and there is no cost, so you might as well. You got nothing to lose. So go to createyourdreampractice.com and take advantage of that. And this will apply really to any business, any industry. It doesn't have to necessarily be a coach, right?
Right.
Okay, awesome. Just wanted to get clarity on that.
Yeah, any kind of anyone who networks, it will be of value. And I also send out a newsletter that has great business tips and tricks. So.
Okay, awesome. Well, you've been a fantastic guest. You're a wealth of information, and you've done extremely well for yourself on the networking for an agoraphobic introvert. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and just thanks again for sharing your time and your tips today with everyone listening. I'm sure they will find it extremely valuable. I know I have, so thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Ryan.
This has been another Inspired Prosperity Conversation found only on Prosperity Radio. Take the next step to enhance your sense of prosperity. If you liked this program, then take inspired action and create a relationship with this guest expert. More information about their leading-edge programs and services can be found on this guest expert's page right here on prosperityradio.com. I also invite you to share this website link with your friends on your favorite social network. Thank you very much for supporting my mission to improve everyone's sense of prosperity and abundance.